There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
The Fittest Club is made possible entirely by its patrons. You can become a patron too at patreon.com/thefittestclub. The link is in the show notes. Hey everyone, and welcome to the Fittest Club. This is episode 105, and we're in February 2018. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Fittest Club. My name is Patrick Beja, and this is a show where we cover the news from around the world. We get people from different countries, different backgrounds, different cultures, and we try to make sense of what's happening in each of those countries and basically take a different worldwide look at those things and hopefully get some different opinions about those things in the process. So today we have three other people on the show with me. First of all, Turkey, as always, joining me. How's it going from Saudi Arabia?
All good. Hello from rainy Riyadh.
Rainy? I didn't think that was possible.
It's raining like crazy today.
It happens like twice a year and everyone panics and doesn't know what to do?
No, everybody celebrates and goes out camping.
Right, that would make sense. In France, we had a lot of snow once when I was there with my wife, and the bus couldn't climb the hill where it was supposed to go to get me to my job. So I had to go back home in the morning, and my wife was so amused. She was making fun of France for basically 2 weeks. We also have Matthias from Germany. How's it going, sir?
Yeah, hello everyone. I suspect we're the most hated country in Canada right now, but other than that, things are good over here.
I suspect you're referencing some Olympic stuff, which I have not been following at all. What happened?
Apparently we beat their hockey team in the Olympic semifinals, and now that was against all odds, and now we're up against Russia in the finals.
How is that even possible?
Idea, because we guys suck at hockey, apparently. I don't follow any of those sports, but it was all over the news yesterday because it was so sensational. So against all odds, we won somehow.
I guess if you want to choose
a country that hates you, you might as well go with Canada.
So. Yeah, because at least they'll be sorry about it. Right. I think Finland was like third or something like that. I haven't been following either, but Finland is very proud of its ice hockey team. It's like their sport. So I don't know. I'm guessing they did well. And finally, we have Owen JJ Stone, O-Doctor, who's here with us again. How's it going, sir?
It's raining here too. It's been raining. I don't have a new baby like you, but I do have a puppy, which is very
almost
similar
the same.
To having a baby. I get up early. I gotta walk it in the rain. It doesn't want to go in the rain. I kick it. It's like a lot of work. I mean, don't kick the baby, but.
I try not to, but basically it's very similar. We were remarking a few days ago that it's basically a pet, you know. It poops, it eats, it cries. It doesn't do much else in those first few weeks. So it's basically a pet, and it doesn't, like, it's not even happy when you're around. That only starts after. It's almost smiling now, and I can't really tell if it's actually smiling or if it's happy because it's pooping. I'm talking about the baby, not a pet. Again, very similar. So thank you for being on. You're in the US on the East Coast. And I guess we're going to get started with the show. I'm going to go first with a non too depressing story. And I think Owen is going to go second with... Again, I don't even know what to... We'll get to that. But first, the thing that I noted happening in France, it's probably not the biggest thing that happened in France in the past month. But first of all, I've been busy with my pet. so I haven't been following everything. But also, I thought this story might be interesting to our listeners. And it's about basically identity, not quite identity politics, but identity for the country. What happened was there's every year a march celebrating Joan of Arc and in Orléans, the city of Joan of Arc. And, you know, it's basically annual festivities celebrating the thing since, you know, 1430 or whatever it was, the siege. And this year, the city selected a Joan of Arc. They select someone to play the role of Joan of Arc every year. And this year, they selected a person, a French national of mixed race. Her dad is from Africa, I think from Benin. And her mother, yeah, I'm reading the article now. Her mother is Polish. And so she's, well, not black, but she's brown, and she's obviously French. And that, as you can imagine, created some kind of tension with some factions of the more right-wing portion of the political landscape. And I think what's really interesting to note is that there was some reaction, you know, some expression of racism, and some, I think, it's to be expected. When you're going to put a black person as Joan of Arc, obviously that's a symbol that is going to create uncomfortableness. And I can understand that there would be discussion, comments. And of course, while I obviously don't condone it, everyone could see coming the kind of racist comments you're also seeing. However, as I was saying, I think the more interesting part of it is that it didn't turn into a huge thing. It was a news story for sure, but it didn't turn into a national conversation. It didn't turn into a huge deal for the country. It was just, oh, all right, well, that happened. And some a-holes were being a-holes. And, you know, it's, I don't think anyone is regarding this as, oh, Joan of Arc is black now. The tone is much more, well, maybe it's okay to have a black, semi-black Joan of Arc for, you know, once in a while, and that's fine. And that, again, it's not everyone who thinks that, but I think overwhelmingly the story didn't become a huge deal because most people don't have a huge problem with that choice. And I thought that was really interesting because I wasn't sure that's how it would have gone. But it sort of gives me, you know, faith in the French people. So, yeah, I thought that was an interesting story. I don't know that there's a huge amount to discuss there for the entire panel. I don't know if you guys have something to say there, but I thought it was an interesting story. So yeah, that's it for the French one. Let's move on.
I was just going to say.
Oh yeah, go ahead. Yeah,
it's good that people weren't up in arms because for my whole lifetime, every time I see a movie about Egypt or white, like, and I'm like, well, isn't, I know that like Egypt's in Africa and Egyptians try to be like Egyptians. Egyptians think that they're Egyptian. Like that they're their own thing, they're their own, they're like a space being and they're just Egyptians, but it's in Africa and the sun's bumping out there in the desert, and it just amazes me that everybody who works for them, the Jews that are slaves to them, everybody else got a tan, but when it comes to the king, queen, they're Snow White. So, you know, sometimes you just have to deal with the fact that maybe cultural appropriation and letting somebody else have a little kid say, oh, I could be Joan of Arc too, is a good thing.
Yeah, and I think
here in America, we've dealt with it the opposite way in every walk of life. You know, they made the Lone Ranger, the guy was an Indian. He's always played by a white guy. And you're like, but the Lone Ranger's buddy is an Indian. Like the tracker is an Indian. He's not, oh, okay. I get it.
You know, I think it's very, I think it's even stronger in the US as an issue. We certainly have it and we're waking up to it a little bit more in France now. But it's not as strong, but it's always, you know, I'm wondering, obviously Joan of Arc is not a superhero, and maybe we can talk about this now with some convoluted, segue. The release of Black Panther made a lot of noise in the US, and for us it was a little bit of a foreign thing, you know, the joy of having a black superhero be a main character with a black, you know, African, I think I've heard it called African futurism culture. And in the US it made a lot of noise. For some reason we always end up talking about inclusive superheroes when you're on Owen. Last time it was Wonder Woman. But yeah, it's almost like what if Captain America is black? And of course in the comics, his name is escaping me, Falcon ends up being Captain America and Falcon is black. Is it Wilson something? Can't remember. But yeah, what did you think of the whole Black Panther phenomenon that's been happening?
A Black Panther is important. You know, when people say he's the first black superhero, obviously the better one that you had, there's multiple black superheroes, but Blade is like the only one, like people are like, oh, these were okay movies, these were good movies, you can respect them. But again, it's one black guy surrounded by all white cast.
Yeah.
And even though he was the black lead, he didn't know anybody black, he didn't hang out with anybody black, like it was just like,
yeah. Blade is like a vampire hunter. I understand he's a Marvel character, but if he wasn't, no one would consider him a superhero. And you know, you have like War Machine and Iron Man, and you have, you have like two or three in Marvel, but it's different when it's, and I've seen a few people replying this to me on Twitter. It's like, I'm sorry, it's not the same thing when you have like the actual star and the whole movie around that, identity. So.
Star, it's about the surrounding cast. Like I said, people want to ignore what you just said about Blade was an oxymoron. If he wasn't a Marvel character, he wouldn't be a superhero. That's what makes him a superhero. He's a Marvel character, so he is in fact a superhero. It's just again the fact he's surrounded by white people. Okay. Black Panther is surrounded by black people, and there's only two other white actors in the movie. So when you say it's like Afro pro black blah 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 blah, I mean, the director's black, the producer's black, like everybody's black. So you're getting a full-on multicultural black experience. Like they took stuff from like five different parts of Africa, mashed it down to one, as you said, Afrofuturism, whatever. And it's great to see, and it's great that, you know, kids don't want to really be a vampire hunter, I guess. But, you know, you want to be, everybody wants to be Iron Man. And this is basically Iron Man. You know, he's got all the money in the world. He's got gadgets. He's got toys. Like, that's why Tony Stark is the leader of the Marvel Universe, because, hey, I'm just a dude. If I'm smart enough, I could build myself a suit. I don't have to have, like, the Hulk powers. I'm not a god. You know what I mean? I could be a dude that just builds a suit.
Excitement. Like, were you, even before we heard about Black Panther, there was some frustration that there wasn't that for you guys, for black people in America. It was frustrating that there wasn't a full-on
black superhero. There's not an Asian superhero. There's not a Latino superhero. We got a whole lot of work to do to have it just not be a white guy or even women heroes. The women characters haven't had their own really talk about Wonder Woman. That's why Wonder Woman was such a big deal. So, I mean, we got, everybody needs a piece of the pie, needs to share. It's not just white guys saving the universe or whatever is going on. Again, I love the movie. I understand the hyperbole of the movie. The movie made a lot of money. You know, people are like, it's the best Marvel movie ever. I'm like, pump your brakes. That was Guardians of the Galaxy. I thought Thor was better than Black Panther, Ragnarok with Hulk. I thought I had more fun. But again, I'm a nerd. I actually like comic books. I like these story arcs. And again, it's great to see Black Panther, because literally it's the same equivalent of Tony Stark.
When Iron Man came out, you saw every kid wearing an Iron Man suit. Every kid wanted to be Iron Man. Now all you see is Black Panther mask. So to have the representation for kids, the same thing when you say, oh, look, you could beat a president. Okay, cool. Everybody wants to go get a suit and dress their kid like Barack for Halloween. Now everybody's going to be just – I can't imagine how many black – there's going to be like a Black Panther army come Halloween this year, and I won't know what to do. Now, I'm not dressing my kid in anything black. I'll lose her in the crowd. So it's fun. It's great. I just try to pump the brakes on the whole.
It's the best.
Made it. I'm yeah. like, it's a cartoon, bro. Like, normally the other issue is with people is they're like, look, we have black cast, black films. Why don't you support Birth of a Nation? I was like, because every other black cast you get, we're slaves, we're warlords killing children. Like, this is the first like all black pro, because again, like I said, when you're Egyptians and you're kings and queens, they have white people be the lead. And like, wait, how come when we're positive people in there, but when we're negative, you know, you got all these black guys running around killing kids and stealing land and gold and stuff. It's the stereotyping. So hopefully this fixes that. It's made a lot of money, and it proves the movie studios that, hey, when you're in Egypt, you can have a black pharaoh. You know what I mean? Like, people.
Well, they weren't quite black, but yeah, I see what you mean. Yeah,
tan, brown, whatever.
Yeah, African. Yeah.
African. I'll say African because it's in Africa.
Turkey. I wonder if there is some, you know, reaction to that movie, or to, I don't even know if you're having that movie in Saudi Arabia, or, but you know, to the existence of a non-white superhero movie, does that, you know, create conversations in Saudi Arabia or not at all?
Well, first of all, I haven't seen the movie because we don't have theaters here yet.
Mm-hmm.
So, but for the movie itself in Saudi Arabia, it's like other countries. We do have racism here. However, racism here in Saudi is kind of different compared to other parts of the world, like the US or some other countries. It's less about the color of your skin, and it's more about where you're originally from or what faith you follow. That's where that happens. And usually it only affects you on the social level, as in marriage and relationships, but it won't really affect you in your everyday life or getting a good job or so on in general. So, and Black Panther, a movie it's all black, is no big deal. What's the big deal? It's just another movie with a black guy being in a superhero. So what's the big deal?
Okay, I see. Yeah, it makes
so
sense.
So that's the most general opinion that you would have here from Saudis. As I said, if it comes down, Saudis, when they're racist, there usually isn't the color. It comes down, where are you originally from? So tribal or non-tribal and so on, African, Asian, and so on. Or what faith you follow. And usually there's two faiths that with Saudis they would have a problem with. It's usually it's either Shia sect, Muslims who are Shia sect, or due to the problem with Israel and so on, Zionist, you have also the Jewish faith. So those are the mostly where you have the problems. But skin color isn't really a huge factor here in Saudi, because sometimes you find tribal people who are from good tribes that they are very dark people. And you have them, some who are extremely white. So skin color doesn't really come in as a huge factor in racism here.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's not quite Africa, but there are huge portions of the Middle East, including Northern Africa, where the people are very, very white.
And you have that also in Sudan. Sudan is a mixer of both. You would find some Sudanese who are very, very dark, and you have Sudanese who are very, very white, and they have almost a balance in that region. And they are considered all, Saudis treat them all equally. There's no difference between them.
You know, it's both kind of hopeful and at the same time depressing, because it's kind of, well, when you have a mix of skin colors, then people find other reasons to be disparaging or belittling with one another, which I fully expect. If tomorrow the world started being all, you know, accepting of all skin colors, then we would find something else. I remember I have a friend, we were playing a lot of custom role-playing games in when I was younger, and one of my friends was creating worlds and creating role-playing games, and he created a game, a world where there was an alien invasion, and he wanted some kind of class system, you know, racism kind of thing in that world. And he thought up the, because the aliens were simian, he thought up the hair being the reason why people would be more or less well considered. So people with a lot of pilosity, a lot of hair, would have a higher status than the people who didn't. And that's
very interesting.
Yeah, I really think that we will always find something to be.
Just to point out something, when I'm saying skin color doesn't really come to effect, I'm not saying 100%. There are, you would always find some people who would have problems with skin color, but I'm talking about the majority in the general atmosphere. Is skin color here doesn't really matter that much. And if it comes down where you come from, and it's only usually affects you at any level when it comes to your social marriage, basically relationships, okay, and so on.
So to get back to Black Panther, for us, I think in France, it was obviously the issue of, and the question of having a black superhero was a lot less pronounced. It was like, oh yeah, okay, it's a cool Marvel movie. It's a little bit different from the other Marvel movies structurally. And yeah, it's all black and it's in Africa, and that's pretty cool. And the fight choreography is not as good as the one in Civil War. And that's basically what we, stopped at. I wonder in Germany if the conversation went beyond that or if it's similar to what we had in France, Matthias.
I haven't watched the movie, so I can't really talk about that too much, but I have seen a lot of people talk about it on Twitter, for example, and praising it. But to be honest, for me, I kind of stopped watching all the Marvel sequels and stuff, so I'm not really interested in that and haven't followed the conversation. Aww. But I guess there are enough people, idiots, who just need a reason to hate on it, so they'll just go with it.
Okay.
But again, I haven't read a lot about it, because I'm not really that interested personally.
Fair enough. Okay, so Black Panther conversation aside, now that we're done with that, let's go into the more difficult conversation. And that is, I think, something that was discussed or witnessed by the entire world. And that's the Parkland shooting that happened in Florida, the school shooting.
Excuse me, I don't think it's a difficult conversation unless you're a member of the NRA.
I think the difficulty expands beyond the NRA, and that's too bad. And we'll talk about this for a second, in a second. But first, let me give the mic to Owen. Yeah, I mean, what is the mood? What's happening? I think we all hear about it through Twitter and the news, but from your perspective on the ground, it seems this time the conversation is not dying down.
So again, preference my thought process with, I am not the average American that you see on the internet as stuff is concerned. Think the conversation isn't dying down. This is what happens every time children get shot. This is what happens every time a church gets shot. People get upset, people get mad, people rally, people post stuff, and people complain. And guess what? This is America. Guns aren't going anywhere, and everybody in power takes money. So our system works that our politicians get funded from the outside. As long as that happens, nothing's going to change. It doesn't matter what anybody says. It doesn't matter how many 17-year-olds you put on camera that seem very well spoken and taken care of, because over here in America, we just say that they're actors, they're paid and coached by CNN, and we can't trust them. We don't believe that these 17 kids were killed because we need to see the bodies.
Like, but okay, wait a second. Already here, you're living through this. So for you, it seems obvious that this is happening. But what I've heard is that the one or a couple of the kids are being described by some of the interest groups or some of the news outlets as actors, and they're not, because they're mobilizing, I think, like, it hasn't been quite that strong before, the kind of a mobilization and trying to get together a conversation that will continue and that will result into at least some action. And it seems the pressure on the NRA is stronger than it was before, because some companies are dropping their dealings with the NRA and stuff like that. But you're saying that the what some people might not have heard about is, you're saying the stories of are centering around, they're not real kids and we don't see the bodies, so it's fabricated, like that kind of conspiration theory. Is
every time there's a school shooting, Sandy Hook, people are still talking about, oh, that school, the kids, nobody died there, it was a false flag. You know, why would America, who, especially now with a current president, why would this president, who is like pro anything that somebody's going to cut a check to, do a false flag and shoot kids? Like, okay, maybe Obama's like, oh, I want to get rid of these guns, let me go fake shoot up some kids so we could get NRA in trouble. Like, but this president, why would you think that they would allow that to happen? But this is what happens in America. This is what happens with your quote-unquote fake news. Half the populace is stupid. No, wait, not half the populace. 40% of the populace is stupid. 30% doesn't care. 30% is overeducated. And 10%, I don't know what they're doing. So, it, like I said, I don't think that anything is going to happen different. You know, we had 9/11, which... whatever, not going to get into what happens. You get conspiracy theories. But the one thing that came out of that was, hey, you can't go into the airport with a bottle of water anymore. They fixed that thing the next day. There's been an 18 this year. In my recollection, there's been like 10 major school shootings in the last 5 or 10 years, and no one's done a thing about it. They go out here, they pay the lip service, they go to the town halls. And I know what you're saying. People are dropping NRA. Guess what? They're dropping NRA for now.
You don't think they're mobilizing more than they were before? It seems from the outside that they are. Hello?
It might be because if you're watching CNN all the time and they're putting these kids up to talk, and I don't care about lip service. Got up a church. I saw a whole lot of black people mobilizing, and maybe, again, the media doesn't cover, but I saw them. They were doing stuff. They were marching things. Again, until somebody gets a bill to change the law, doesn't mean anything, because this pressure doesn't directly cut the checks. And yes, a couple sponsors dropped the NRA, but the NRA makes a ton of money. And if you hear Americans with guns, I'm pro-gun. I'm a gun person. Gun owner. I want my guns. I'm not trying to give up my guns. I believe in a better registration and handling of weapons, which in America we don't do. So I like think a stronger
you were talking about you're breaking up a little bit, but you were talking about, I think it was on This Week in Tech, you were saying it's, you can get a gun with less control than you need to get a driving license, which is kind of unbelievable. And I think watching CNN. I there are a few people who mentioned this on the last episode or the one before, who mentioned, oh, well, you know, Allison is like, she's watching CNN so much, it shows in her. I don't think that's really it wasn't the point with Allison. She was talking about her experience as a former Republican who became less of a Republican. But that beyond that, the way we look at all of this is with, I think, disbelief, you know, and I know that some people listening to me on the right side of this conversation are on the conservative side of this conversation are going to say, oh, but Patrick, you're a liberal, and that's why you say those things. But really, it's different when you're in our shoes. But really, it's one of those cases where the only people, like the entire world, is looking at this situation and doesn't understand. You know, there are some things that are difficult conversations. There are some things that are difficult to fix, you know? And sometimes there are no solutions for stuff. But here, it's like sometimes there are solutions, you know? And everywhere you look, that they have been implemented slowly. Of course, it's not going to happen overnight and all of a sudden everything is fixed in the U.S. regarding to guns, and there are lots of guns in the U.S., all of that. But every country, no other country has that problem. None. And still some people don't want to admit, you know, I understand saying I'm pro-gun, I want my guns, but fighting reasonable gun control, meaning you need to have the proper some kinds of guns you can or can't buy, and I understand. This is why I didn't have
it's a bigger, just
to finish up. This is why I didn't have. I talked about having someone, a conservative person, on the show to talk about this and to give us their point of view. The problem is, we know that point of view, and we've heard all of the arguments already. I think at some point, it's not about the arguments anymore. It's about the decision you make. We have all the points. And this is one of the few rare cases where, you know, I talk about healthcare. I think healthcare, it shouldn't be a discussion. And it's mind-blowing. It's puzzling that it still is in the U.S. And for everything, for almost everything, I am willing to have the conversation, and I think it's important that we have the conversation. And to be fair, we've had people talk about the reasons for being pro-guns on the show, and we will in the future, I'm sure. But we will again. But there are some cases where I can't, especially after the shooting happened, I can't just have someone come in and say, oh, well, you know, we need automatic rifles and we need this. And in case the government comes in and we need to defend ourselves. And like, this is a simple, I hesitate to say simple, but I will anyway. It's a simple problem. Everyone else has fixed it. Everyone else. It's like, it's not that complicated. No matter how complicated you want to make it, it really isn't that complicated. It's complicated because of agendas. And sometimes you can look at a problem and think in isolation, well, there's this or that, or, you know, this or that problem. But when you look around, it's almost like when I see people in France talk about some political matters, I hear them and I'm hearing insane people talking, because you look at the isolation issue in France and you think, oh, well, some people think this, some people think that. But you look a little bit wider and you see that every other country has, you know, understood that issue and come to a conclusion. And you have to do that. It's like trying to fix a problem when you're alone, when you're wondering about the problem and you're like, oh, could we have solution A or solution B or solution C? And you've had that problem solved by solution C everywhere else. And you're still looking at it in isolation and thinking, I really wonder what the solution would be. And like, look around. The solution is clear. It's easy. Everyone else has fixed it. Sorry. And that's why I didn't want to have someone, because if I'm being honest, I don't really want to have a conversation about this. I want to yell at someone. And that's probably not fair to that someone. So maybe when I'm a little bit more calm. But sorry, Owen, I interrupted you to get into my monologue.
I was just making sure you could hear me. I mean, I get everything you just said, but so when you say everybody else has fixed it, you know what? Everybody else isn't. Everybody else isn't the father of the world. America is the global parent of the world. China's the mom. And China's about to be the dad, and we're about to be the mom. But for right now, we are the father of the world, meaning We patrol around this whole globe, protecting everybody, owning their land, occupying their land. We are a war machine. So when you say you don't understand, we are a nation that just kills and takes over. We're the empire that rules the globe right now. So the mentality, the money we spend on our budget for defense, quote unquote, it's in our DNA and it's in our blood. It's how we control power. And it's right on down to the gun owner in America. Everybody else can give up their guns. You know why? Because America's going to come in and save you. You know why you don't have to worry about guns? Because America's going to step in and say, we're going to fund the UN. We're going to do all this stuff. Again, I get what you're saying. And as a parent and a practical owner, I get what you're saying. But I'm just saying, this whole construct is why it's not going to go away. In France, you guys had a shooting a couple years ago. Where did they get the guns from? There's no guns there, right? But somebody still had went in there and shot up stuff.
No, but it's different.
When you go to other countries, they blow up places. Let me finish. When you go to other countries, they blow up stuff. So if you take this gun away, then you get the, like the Boston bombers. They go in their kitchen and they make a bomb. And they go down a parade. So I want better regulations, no doubt. But at the end of the day, when we say all these things, it's the way, it's our tradition, it's our way of life, and we can't even get healthcare fixed, which is such a simple thing. You know why? Because, like I said, money is a motivator. The money runs everything in here. And these kids can cry all they want, people can say what they want, and unless you take funding out of politics, that's a problem. We can't all get together and relate on one issue. So some people want guns banned. Some people want better regulation. Some people want metal detectors at schools. We can't get together and make one unison thing because there's so much discord and disinformation. So it just gets all in the wash, and in 6 months, we'll be right back where we are.
Listen, there are a couple of things I want to say. First, yes, we have terrorist attacks everywhere in the world, but the problem is the ease of getting guns is different. And so you get in France, you have shootings sometimes. Yes, it happens. But then the next guy who comes along, we've had issues with people attacking police officers with knives and with hammers. And that obviously is a lot less dangerous. And saying we can't, you know, you're always going to have some guns, so we're not going to do anything. We can't bring the death toll to zero, so we're not going to do anything. It doesn't make sense. It's like you didn't have one terrorist attack a long time ago. You had like what, 15 school shootings in since the beginning of the year? That's like
domestic terrorism is not a real thing. We only take terrorism as a threat when it comes from an outside source.
No, but that's how you know what works. I mean, right? It's like you're saying.
Also, the whole
America works. I'm talking about how America works. I know what you're saying.
Right.
I understand. I'm saying this is what America. All my replies to you are America replies.
Like, yeah, no, I know.
Not directly me. Like America, when you say stuff, yeah. If you know what happens, if you armed every black man in America with an AR-15, they would be banned tomorrow. on the ban list. If you had a terrorist and shoot up a school with an AR-15 and killed those kids, they would be banned tomorrow. But since they're white males, they're just, you know, lone rangers, you know. It's not like they're the hunting family that has guns, and none of those people out here killing people. It's these lone ranger white kids that we just, they're putting him in the media. He's 19. He lost his mom. He lost his dad. I don't care about his sympathy story. He just killed 17 people. But since he's a white guy, this is how we portray it. So
yeah, I don't know. I mean, it seems a little bit far-fetched to me that I think the NRA, the Second Amendment, the pro-Second Amendment people would still not want to give up the current laws, even if it was not a white person. That I'm not sure, but maybe I don't know.
The problem is all those American answers you just gave can be easily refuted and don't make any sense at all, but it still won't help if you argument against them, because my freedom, I want that gun, that's the Second Amendment. Even if it's only the first part of the Second Amendment and the rest, they're just discount. It's just that standpoint. That's my freedom, that's my right, I want that, and you can't argue rationally against that, it seems.
I think that's why we are in disbelief, because it is not rational. That is, and it's the same with every one of those issues, but in this case, it directly leads to deaths. And so that's even more difficult. And like the solutions that are proposed that are like seriously being considered, like arming teachers and putting armed guards everywhere, which by the way, there was one. He ended up not going in there. And
can I say something to that
real
quick?
Sure, sure, of course.
So this is, now again, when I'm talking, you know, I'm just advocating back to the Americans, so we're not on the same Discord. Right. But when the President of the United States, who's an idiot, sits there and says, well, we need to arm 20% of our teaching force, and maybe if they take down a bad guy, we give them a bonus. Then you read that there was an armed guard, 23-year veteran officer, building. He makes $75,000 a year. Now you read that there were four sheriffs who hid behind their cars and didn't and go into the building to approach the shooter. Oh, where are the good guys with the guns? You want to arm teachers in classrooms, quote unquote, randomly, secretly. You think these kids aren't going to be fishing for guns from their teachers? You already got a weapon in the school. The kids don't have to sneak the gun in. They can get at a gun if they find out who has one. Secondly, expect teachers to take down a guy when trained police officers, not even officers, sheriffs wouldn't even go in there and put themselves in line of duty. But you expect Miss Susie in math class to pop a cap in Johnny.
It's a distraction. I mean, so obviously a distraction. It's like get you upset about this and get us to talk about that, so that the conversation is shifted from. And I think the most frustrating thing is, as you were saying, Owen, I think a lot of people are gun owners and do want to keep their guns, but they're only. That's the most baffling, I think. Most people, I think, don't want to ban guns, period. I think that is unreasonable, completely unreasonable. Most people want the certain types of guns to be very difficult to obtain, maybe banned, certain types, you know, automatic weapons, that kind of thing, and more stringent requirements if you want to buy a gun, like training and registration and stuff like that.
Like evaluation.
Yeah. Yeah. How, maybe you can explain this to us. Why does that not become a consensus? Like, why are there some people who say even that we don't want to see happen?
Something I was saying earlier about mobilization, but the conversation isn't a concise thing. Again, if they all went in there and said, we want gun regulation change, and this is what we wanted to do, which is why I'm pushing for this DMV movement. Because when you buy a car here in America, if I went to go sell it to you, I'd have to have a bill of sale. The state would know that I sold it to you. You'd have to pay taxes on the purchase, and the car would be registered to you. Now, with a gun, I buy the gun. I could sell it to you on the street. With it 6 months later, I just say it was stolen. There's no record of it. There's no transaction. So when people stand up there and they say all the things they're saying, I don't know what they want. It doesn't matter. There's like 18 different factions. Some are super pro black. The other one's like, hey, just stop shooting us. There's no real leader that's trying to give me a 10-point bulletin of what you need to do. And everybody needs to get on board and support that. But you got, again, you have gun owners, and they're like, look, don't ban my guns. Look, okay, make it harder to get the gun. Okay, no guns at all. You know, let's lock up the school. The conversation is too diluted, so you can't get something through. If everybody just focused on one thing, we could actually make change. So now, yes, you're going to hear the guy in Florida who's a real tool is like, all right, well, we're going to ban extended clips now. You can't have an extended clip. I mean, you still have the gun, but we're, you know, they acquiesce to you in the moment, give you a little something. So they decide to do something, but there's no real definitive thing for change. And it's hard because that's the problem.
There's every time we talk about healthcare, a lot of the people on the panel point out very astutely that things can get done on a state level, and that is probably a better way of experimenting with what works and what doesn't, and you know what can be put into place in the context of the U.S. And that is probably the way it should go if things are going to move and change. Wouldn't that make sense in the case of gun control as well? Isn't that maybe already the case in some states where there are more stringent
requirements? Yeah, but what's the point, Patrick, if you can buy it from one state and just move to the other state?
Mm. Well, that, it's something.
It's something, but again, it's not a real solution because there's no uniformity. Like some of the things I wanted are actually in place in a couple of states. If you're in Arizona, you do have to go out with an instructor. You have to hit a target. If you don't have the target, you can't get the gun. Like it's almost like there's some extra steps to where, look, we're not just going to give you a gun and think you know how to handle it. You know what I mean? Because some people just buy guns. You know, some people live alone. They heard some break-ins in the neighborhood. They go out, they buy a gun. They have no idea how to shoot it. They have no idea what they're doing. And then they end up shooting a neighbor or a friend or their kid gets hold of it. You know, there's no thing set in place. It's like, okay, here, this is how you shoot it. You have kids at home? Okay, if you have a family, if you have kids at home, then you're mandated to buy a lockbox with this gun. You can't just get this gun and go stick it in your drawer. Like, you have to buy a gun box. There's nothing in place uniformly that does it. And the same way you said, the same thing I said about loopholes. If you don't have, then people are going to find a way around it. And again, you go ban guns and somebody's going to go blow something up. So you need some kind of uniformity, which is the big problem because, again, you got fake news. You got people saying that the thing that drives me crazy about the kids being actors, let's just say the kids are actors. Let's just say that these kids didn't even go to school and they were paid to say all this bad stuff. Guess what? 17 kids still died at that school. Whatever they're saying, 17 children still died. So the fact that they're upset about these kids dying, whether they're actors or not, you should still be upset. They're children.
Mm. Well, the whole children actor thing is just another diversion to keep the discussion off track from the real issue.
It certainly feels like it. And when you're saying there's no uniform conversation, it's really, I wonder why. Why is there no one movement? And maybe we're seeing the beginning of that. But why is there no one 10-bullet-point list that is easy to get behind? Hello?
It's good because of emotion. The same reason you got all hyped up and rabble, rabble, rabble. People sit at home and they say, okay, well, here's a common sense thing we're going to do. That's not enough. You're punking out on us. Well, okay, well, that's, you know, it's again, we don't have leaders anymore. There's no Martin Luther King hanging around. There's no real voice of the people. You know, politicians come around when it's their time to win something, but there's no real, hey, this is what I think, and people get behind them. There's no Kennedys. There's no big-name people. That's why you can get a president like Trump. And as I said before in the show, I am perfectly pleased as pie that this guy is president because I'm waiting to see what happens in the next election because 50% of our country did not vote. 50% were like, look, both of these people are so evil, I'm not even going outside my house. I want to know what those other 50% of people who didn't take part are going to do now that they see it is. Again, normally when a president is screwing you over, they use lube. This guy has no lube and he's got you tied to a post and he's just giving it to you. So hopefully they see the difference and they care about what's going on in the country. And then maybe we could get some uniformity. Maybe when we get everybody involved and realizing that they have to be a part of it, then something will change. Like I said, my big thing personally, bottom line, is I would love to have a movement just to get money out of politics. Every politician gets a stipend and that's it. So that way they're not beholden to anybody. When they write these laws, they owe somebody money and they need more money to win. They're not going to change anything. That's why we can't have health care. That's why I can't get a cookie on the weekends. Like, it's just rough out here. And it's just the American way.
What I find interesting about this whole thing is you can't drink until you're 21, but you can buy a gun if you're 19.
The other amendments they did in Florida when they took out the larger magazines, they said, now you have to be 21 with exceptions. So if you're in the military, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, cool. Okay. Mm. Just buy it secondhand from somebody and you don't know the kid bought it.
Yeah. But I mean, if you say that, then the argument becomes, well, then it's no use banning anything because then you can get it from someone else or get banning for a certain age. Or, and I understand that this is often being used as a reason to do nothing. And it's really frustrating for, in this conversation, but in every conversation, and not just in America, in every country, when people say, oh, well, we're not going to fix it entirely, which I was alluding to earlier, we're not going to fix it entirely, so let's just not do anything. Of course, you have to start somewhere. Like having, I don't know, medicine is not going to cure 100% of the people that are ill, but it's going to cure 50%. Oh, well, yeah, that's not everyone's going to survive, so let's not do anything. No, you take the damn medicine and hopefully you have, you know, 50% of the people that are healed. And maybe by changing part of the law, it's a start to mitigate a little bit of that issue. So I don't really understand that argument, Owen. I don't subscribe to it.
Again, if the president just came down and said the same thing that guy in Florida said, everybody has to be 21, it will make a whole lot of people feel better about it because, again, you can go to a gun show in Georgia and get the gun and drive back home and be in Florida in an hour and a half. So, again, I'm not saying not doing anything. I'm just saying that I would just like uniformity. That's a great step, right? Because we just saw children die. Everybody just say, okay, well, at least we're not going to let an angry 18-year-old who's a senior go out, buy the assault rifle, drive back down and shoot up the school. Okay, no teenager can buy a gun. You know, you'd have to have a parent or an adult buy it for you if you're a hunter or whatever the exceptions may be. I would just like to see that uniformly. That's all. I understand what you're saying. What you're saying, again, everything you say makes sense. I'm just giving you America's answers.
Right.
This is America.
So to you, the movement, if that actually is one, for change, and I'm sure, you know, some of the people that were looking at thinking, you're, you know, Republican, you probably don't want the reasonable. I think I'm sure many of them would be for reasonable, you know, gun law reform. I'm certain of it. But it's not a coherent movement, and I think you're right. And this is on the left, you know, this is on the people who do want reasonable gun laws. I think they need to organize and to get together. It's kind of like the anti-Wall Street, like, what's the name of that? Unify Wall Street? No. Occupy Wall Street. There you go. Occupy Wall Street. It was a movement. But ultimately, it didn't really go anywhere because it was just, oh, we're a leaderless movement. We don't have demands. We're just pissed off. And like, yeah, that's not how you get things done. But Turkey, any thoughts on all of this from Saudi Arabia?
Let's say, I think Saudi Arabia has the same idea. Let me put this first. Saudi Arabia is somewhat like the U.S. People here in general love their guns. We don't have something called the Second Amendment where you have the right for to have arms, bear arms or anything like that, but people love their guns around here. The difference is here it's more controlled. It's monitored more by the government. Not to say that there are people who own guns that are not licensed or have it got it through illegal ways. It's just that here, you cannot publicly go and bear arms in public, unlike some states in the U.S. But at the end of the day, yeah, a lot of Saudis would reflect the same ideas that a lot of people from around the world about the states, that they love their guns, they just go around and they like shooting it too much. And being in a country where there's a lot of control on a lot of stuff, the concept that there should be more control, there should be more laws of how people carry a gun is like an oxymoron here. And a lot of people don't understand it. No one here in Saudi would think that banning guns, period, is a good idea because, as I said, a lot of Saudis, and I think a good majority of Saudis, love guns here. So, but they do believe there should be laws. There should be logical systems to control who owns them, what type of guns they can own, and just monitor these things. And this is the concept. So basically, Saudis would say, why don't they have the laws? How could a kid have a gun? Why is it they don't do background checks? Why don't they know exactly who owns a gun, who doesn't own a gun?
So I guess, is it fair to say the reaction is disbelief, as I described? Like you just...
Yeah, definitely. It's disbelief. 17 kids were shot. It's something unbelievable. Like, as far as I know, and my knowledge isn't that great, but we never had a school shooting like this. We do have school shootings in Saudi, but they're far apart and they're usually targeted school shooting. Like a fight between two kids. So one kid steals his parents' gun, his dad's gun, and goes and shoots the other kid. But we never have mass shootings like the ones that we're seeing in the US or in some other countries on occasions. So for us, this is where it comes strange. So unless you're a terrorist, you don't go out and start mass shooting people. So for us, mass shooting is terrorist-based here in this country in general. It's very, extremely rare. And I honestly myself, I cannot think of any mass shooting that I've heard of. I'm sure there were, but as you say, they're so rare that I don't know of any.
And it's, I mean, and again, the frustrating thing is, well, it's not a gun issue, it's a mental health issue. And so you're like, well, yes, okay, all right, excellent. We can get on the same page. Then let's fund more mental health care. And then you're like, oh, well, no, we don't want national, you know, federal health care. So it's like, all right. Matthias, what about Germany? I'm guessing we're roughly on the same page, but...
Yeah, we joined the world in shaking our heads in disbelief. But personally, the most... baffling thing for me is that there are actually lawmakers in the US getting up on stage and saying, well, laws don't work, and you people don't chase them off the stage immediately. I mean, why are you a lawmaker if you don't think laws don't work? So, I mean, that's just baffling to me. I think it was it Mark Rubio or whoever it was who said, well, we can't have gun laws because gun laws won't work. The people will still get guns. Yeah, well, that would. It's true for every law. So why even bother with laws? Just have anarchy then. That's just, this kind of argument is so, I don't know.
Well, with that argument, then they should allow drugs to be available.
Obviously. Yeah, they should.
I think there's a lot
again,
of the...
Again, that's just because they don't know how else to respond to the demands now. But still, that you have people openly suggest this if they are in a position to actually change things.
They're more worried about people smoking weed. That's more concern to them. That's against.
You know, there's a lot of I've been saying it for a few times for a while now. The distrust of the American people in its government is toxic. It's selective, and it is so counterproductive to a functioning society that it is kind of unbelievable as well. The idea that, like, the amount, everyone, no one likes their governments, I think. No one thinks, oh, yeah, taxes are awesome. Well, some people do. I think they're necessary, but no one thinks the government is super efficient at doing everything that they can. You know, the administration works as well as any company. Obviously not. No one thinks that. But you understand the function of government, the need for administration, and the requirement for some bureaucrats to do their job and to get the country to run. And the fact that the Americans have such a low opinion of government in general leads to things like that, leads to what you're talking about, Matthias, to someone, a senator, getting up on stage and saying, laws don't work, so why bother, right? Am I right? And he doesn't get booed off stage. And I think that sentiment is way more negative than just the fun, haha, well, government sucks, right? So,
but it's also easier to say, I don't want a tyrannical government, so I buy a gun so the government can't come and take my land or whatever. The right way would be, if you are afraid of a tyrannical government, then build a system that doesn't allow abuse. But that's complicated. That's difficult. It's way easier to say, well, I have a gun. If they want to come and take my land, I'll just shoot them.
And I'd love to see, Joe Cowboy shoot up the Marines that are going to land on in a combat helicopter to take his land from the greatest army in the world, which it is.
No. So. We've had standoffs where people have done that. We've had standoffs where there have been good old boys on a ranch and they're armed to the teeth and the cops just sit outside. The FBI comes. Everybody comes. Nobody's going in there. Hmm. The guys out there with... they're armed to the teeth with maybe better weaponry than you do. So, again, when I said earlier about, you know, give a gun to every black guy, I mean, it's a factual thing. When the guy shoots up a church, cuffs and give him a cheeseburger. When a guy shoots up to high school, cuffs, he's alive. A kid doesn't even have a gun on him. He gets shot in the park in 12 seconds of that cop getting out of the car because he was reported to have a gun in the park. And I can give you 14 other stories just like that with people without guns getting shot instantly. But these guys get taken in handcuffs alive over and over and over again. And then we're not going to execute them. We're going to put them in a prison and pay for them to live for the rest of their lives. So here, like I said about everything else, it's all about money.
Well, if it's
the,
a problem,
the reason we're not behind solar, the reason we're not, because the gas company's like, hey, you got a president that's going to take this check. Let's get out of the global mindset of solar and trying to help the world. Okay, cool. I'll take the check. Guns. Okay, you got, how big's the check? I mean, we just killed kids. I need more money from the check. Okay, you got more money? Cool. Forget the kids. It's just the way it works. And the sad part is, again, is America knows that this is how it works. America kind of likes the way it works. Same thing with marijuana. Reason marijuana is not legal is because people are fighting against it because they want to control it. There's certain states that keep trying to pass bills that were like, oh, yeah, you can have recreational marijuana, but Marlboro or Newport, the cigarette company, are the only ones allowed to grow and sell it.
Hmm. But if it's really about money, how much money is spent every day to keep schools supposedly safe? I mean, you have the pictures of schools with metal detectors, armed personal guards and whatnot. I mean, how much money is just spent to safeguard against this?
Taxpayers pay that money. Exactly. Number one, they don't get an outside check. Interest groups trying to support the schools. Schools being defunded from the government every year. Our national budget just got cut like 30% under Obama didn't do that much more for teachers, not for nothing. He didn't do anything. He just left the budget the same. So again, that's government money. There's no outside money that's like, hey, let's support the schools and help America and help the youth. Because if there was, yes, then things would change. But the fact that your tax base and your tax revenue dictates how much support you get, that school was that school had a $75,000 security guard on it. They make a crap ton of money because I can go right down here to the street. We have one of the worst cities in the country, and there's shootings and drugs and everything. And none of those schools have a security guard because their tax base won't support it. They're like, hey, good luck, kid. Go to class. And they have to deal with it. So, again, outside funding versus inside funding, who cares how much money your budget's being spent on? That's your tax revenue. If you don't have the taxes, you don't get a security guard. You don't have the taxes, you don't get a metal detector. And that's just the way it works. Again, nobody's getting a bonus check in their pocket and a pat on the back, because if they were, then it would change. It's like the mafia out here. It really is. And it's, again, the money in it is just why it's not going to change. And I wish that that's what's – I wish everybody woke up tomorrow and said, hey, get a – $500 million. If you run for senator, you get $1 million, and that's it. You go over that budget, you're beat, and no more outside money from anybody. Then something would change.
Well, I think that would be a positive change indeed. All right, let's move on. I can hear the conservative listeners typing furiously in there as they're listening to what we've been talking about. Please do. I'm very curious to hear what you think about the conversation. You have the comments. You have Twitter. I'm not closed to those comments and those views. I thought it wasn't. I couldn't just do it in this episode right now. And it's kind of a. You know, I often say, how far do you go to support your rule, your ideal, and if you think it's being compromised somehow? And for me, it's like, yeah, we always hear from both sides and we hear from everyone. And sometimes I think I have to decide, well, on this one, on this moment, I don't really think there's a both sides argument. There's just the let's hear what the world thinks. And I think it's pretty united in this case. And we did have the opinion of one gun owner, at least. So, all right, let's move on to Germany. What's been happening in there? Anything other than an unexpected win in the Olympics for you?
There are a lot of things that are happening over here, but I'm not sure which one to talk about. Maybe you guys can decide. We can talk about how we still don't have a new government yet, or maybe we can talk about a ban on driving in large cities. So which is the more interesting topic to you?
Both are interesting. I think, still no government. It's kind of the follow-up from what we've been talking in the past. So address it in like 30 seconds. And then I actually want to hear about a ban of driving in large cities, because that's something that's been on the lips of some people in France as well.
Okay, so surprise, surprise, we still don't have a new government here in Germany. And although we are close to a new one, but everyone said that right before the last negotiations blew up. So be careful with that. Well, at this point, though, I'm not really mad, because with the looming government on horizon, it's almost better to have no government than the one we might get. So that's just personal preference, right, I guess. Enough. But as it stands now, we're headed for the grand coalition between the Social Democrats and the Conservative bloc. The Conservative parties have already decided that they want this government. But the Social Democrats, the SPD, has chosen another way to decide that. They decided to do a survey, a vote among their members, and that vote will run until March 2nd. And if the members of the party vote for a coalition, then the party will enter and we will have a new government. Otherwise, we'll have to see what's next. But at this point, even Angela Merkel is prepared to lead a minority government. So even if the Social Democrats decide against entering a new coalition, which they personal opinion again, they should vote against it, but that's just my opinion. But even if they do, we will probably have a new government by, I don't know,
mid-March.
April. March,
okay, yeah.
or even May. Yeah.
That coalition would include the far right? No, it wouldn't, right?
No. That would be the Social Democrats and the Conservative Party.
So that's not too bad, is it?
Well, it's the lesser of two evils, I guess.
You're one of those left-wing nuts. Okay, I see. Uh-huh. I see.
No. It's more like not a lot of people like grand coalitions, because you have opposing opinions, views, agendas, and you have to bring them into one program, and that usually means you get the lowest denominator or the smallest denominator, sure. And that's usually just seems like it's just standing still and nothing really happening. So no one is really happy, neither the Conservative nor the Social Democrats.
I agree. But first, let's keep the Nazis out. That's the first order of business. And second, the alternative is a minority government, which isn't likely to get a lot more done anyway. So
not a lot more done, but you may be able to address certain topics across party lines.
Okay.
So that's the hope of the people. If you have to negotiate on each issue separately, you might be able to form ad hoc coalitions, so to speak, for a certain vote. That has never been done in Germany before. That would be a first. So no one really knows what's going to happen if this would if this minority government would come to. But well, we'll see.
Okay. And then driving ban.
Yeah. This week, the Federal Administrative Court in Leipzig was supposed to deliver a ruling on a case pertaining to the ban of vehicles within large cities. Unfortunately, the court hasn't decided yet because they postponed the decision until next week, but still the issue is still on topic here. The state of Baden-Württemberg and Nordrhein-Westfalen have appealed a lower court judgment that would force them to impose bans on diesel vehicles in their respective capitals.
So it's just diesel.
Yeah, it's mostly diesel. and because an environmental group sued the cities because they failed to meet clean air regulation standards. And the goal of this group was to get the municipalities to ban the diesel vehicles within their city centers to reduce pollution, and especially the release of nitrogen oxides. And these pollutants are mainly released by diesel engines and cause cardiovascular diseases, lung problems, and even cases of premature death. So the lower court ruled that the cities have to protect their inhabitants against this, and therefore they need to ban diesel cars within their cities. And now those two states have appealed that decision.
Okay. So it's not okay. So it's diesel specifically. I see. I was expecting something more juicy.
2/3 or 3/4 of the pollutants that are in discussion here, the oxygen and nitrogen oxides, are produced by diesel cars. But there are so many diesel cars out there still that this would be a huge thing.
And, isn't the diesel system, like, I know that there is, I don't know a lot about cars, but I know there's a less polluting diesel, like, filter on the exhaust pipe or something like that. And the diesel engines are less polluting now. So I thought diesel wasn't that big a deal anymore, but maybe I'm wrong.
It has become better, I guess, but still, if you remember, there was this huge scandal that the car manufacturers lied about the emissions their cars produce.
Right, right, yeah.
So even though they are supposed to be cleaner now...
You omitted a word in your sentence, the German car manufacturers, right? The Germans, yes. They were the
Are there any others? Is there something else outside? No, I don't think so.
Fair enough, of course.
Germans. No, but... for now, we'll have to wait and see what the court is actually deciding. But it's not even certain that the court will make the ruling themselves, because there is also an option that the court might delegate this to a higher authority, which in this case would be an EU court, and ask them to review this. So this might even have implications for other countries and other cities. So if not only in Germany itself, so if you ban traffic in certain cities in Germany, other German cities might have to follow suit. But also, if you do that on a European level, there might be the issue that other cities in other countries, for example, France, Austria, Belgium, Netherlands, also decide that they need to ban diesel engines within their cities, for example.
I think it might happen. It seems like it wouldn't be easy. I think that's a big problem, especially for people who work and who have cars for work, because of course diesel is less expensive than regular. Although that's changing for that reason, the taxes are being increased. But I think we're not too far off from this becoming a possibility. I don't know about the rest of Europe. Certainly in Finland, that would not be difficult. It might actually already be implemented. Like within Helsinki, most of the driving speed limit is 30 kilometers per hour. So that's super slow. Like that's just 3 times walking speed, basically, or 4 times walking speed. And in Paris, it's been back and forth, but I think the public is getting ready to maybe agree to some sort of restriction, and that would be one of them that would be accepted, I think, but with difficulty, but eventually. There's talk about a toll at the entrance of the city limits, like there is in London and all of those. So,
Also... that they want to reduce car traffic in general in the cities.
Right. Yeah, that's also the case in Paris.
In this special case, it's mostly diesel engines, but in general, all cities need to reduce the traffic within their city limits because of the pollution.
Yeah, so same in Paris. What about Riyadh, Turkey? Surely a ban on cars would go super smoothly in your country.
Yeah, let them provide public transportation first, then we can talk about banning cars.
That would be the first step. So what's happening in Saudi Arabia?
Let's see. Well, there's 3 topics right now. The first one is the Ritz-Carlton is now open to the public about 10 days ago.
Okay, is that a big deal?
It was the place where they had all the corruption people arrested. It was closed.
Oh, well, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, so the Ritz-Carlton is now open to the public. Apparently, they settled with the majority of those people accused of corruption, with the exception, I think, of 56 people who were moved to regular jails. And we'll see what happens with those later on.
But why was the hotel closed? I'm not sure I understand.
It was a jail. It was converted into a jail for all the people that were arrested.
Oh, corruption. That I didn't know. Okay. So why? Because they didn't have a big enough jail, or because the jails weren't cozy enough? What happened there?
Because jails weren't cozy enough, because a lot of the people who were arrested were rich business people, royal family members, and so on. So that was where they put them for the interrogation and trying to settle down the entire corruption charges they were accused of.
Oh. How did that go with the public, like that they were put in a luxury hotel?
It depends on who you talk to. Some looked at it, at least they're fighting corruption. Others were wondering, well, what's the result at the end of the day and so on. So you have different reactions from people. Mm. The result of that, I believe they said they retrieved over $100 billion
from
those people in settlements.
That's not too bad, I suppose. Although that makes you wonder how much they took if they're giving back $100 billion.
Yes. So you have that. And as I said, there's around 56 people who are still under arrest and they were moved to regular jails.
Okay.
And so on. The most infamous person internationally that was in the Ritz was Prince Al-Waleed bin Talal. He's the richest man in Saudi. He owned Kingdom Holding, which owned shares in Apple, Twitter, and Disney, and so on, and a lot of companies and Four Seasons hotels, and so on.
Okay.
And he's out. The second biggest topic right now, we have the festival called the Jannadriya Festival. It's a cultural festival held in Riyadh. It's held every year, so right now it's happening. It's a huge festival. It's a very cultural, reflecting the entire culture of Saudi Arabia, and with a special guest country every year. And this year we are having India as a guest country in the event.
What kind of festival is it? Like,
it's a cultural festival. It's basically tradition and culture of Saudi Arabia from the different provinces, where we look into the culture from every province, traditional dancing, cultural crafts, and so on.
Mm. Okay, yeah,
so it's a huge event. The third, I think, and the biggest news has been recently, Saudi Arabia has announced that it will be investing $64 billion into the entertainment industry in Saudi.
Okay.
Yeah, so apparently they want to build amusement parks, they want to build museums, theaters. There were even claims by one of the people that are leading the General Entertainment Authority, where he claimed that they are planning to build a huge opera theater in Saudi, that we are still trying to figure out whether it's real or not, because there were contradiction news about that. But apparently Saudi is becoming going to open up for entertainment in a big way.
How does that square with the religious authority?
Most likely, definitely, they won't be very happy about this, and especially as soon as, and which is happening right now, when they start promoting female leads in entertainment events where men can attend.
Wait, they're saying that this is not good, or what's the?
No, the religious authority, of course, are not happy.
Right.
Because, for example, we just had a play about maybe, I think, a few weeks ago. And it's the first play ever in Saudi Arabia where there was a female actress that played part with male actors. And it was attended by both male and female audiences.
And that didn't go over well.
With the religious authorities, definitely they weren't very happy with it. So a lot of change is happening. So we're waiting to see how people are going to react to it.
It always seems that things have been moving in the what the West would consider to be a positive direction in Saudi Arabia, with women driving, more entertainment, that kind of thing. Seems slow, but things are being moved.
You think this is slow? This is way at light speed for this country. That's the part that's worrying me. While I support all of these, the concepts behind these movements that allow women and so on, but I'm extremely worried that they're moving too fast for this
country. And that there will be a counter-reaction, you mean?
Yes. Yes, of course. That's my worry. And if there's a counter-reaction, that counter-reaction could be so strong that it might push us back a few generations. And we had this before, and that's why I'm saying it. It's not like something that would never happened. We had the same reaction in the 1980 when we had Saudi Arabia was moving forward. It was more open. And then we had the siege of Mecca that ended up making us go backwards. Instead of, we didn't just stop, we went backwards in 1980.
Yeah, we talked about this on the episode 100, the good old days special, where you talked about all of this, which was really interesting. So,
and that's what worries me, that I'm really worried that we're moving too fast to a point that we might have a backlash that ends up taking us backwards instead of a standstill would be nice. I wouldn't mind a standstill, at least that we don't lose what we achieved, but a backlash that would make us go backwards. That's the problem.
All right. Well, I think that is, unless anyone has anything to add.
I have something small, if you...
Sure, go ahead. Go ahead.
Because there's something I just wanted to mention, because it has been talked about a lot on the Phileas Club. It's been 2 or 3 weeks, I'm not sure, but by now the Berlin Wall has been down longer than it has been standing. So we have reached this point in time. They started building it in August of 1961, and it stood until November of 1989. And so it stood a total of 28 years, 2 months, and 26 days. And on the 5th of February, we have reached the date that it has now been longer down than up. So just wanted to mention it, because it's a historical significant date, I guess.
It's for someone like me of my generation, or my age specifically, it's kind of unbelievable. Because again, as we talked about when in episode 100, it was forever. The state of the world was the Berlin Wall, and it had been, for me, it had been the way the world had been forever when I was growing up. So thinking that it has been longer when I was an adult and my life was, you know, moving at a regular pace, and the wall has been, it's really hard to believe. I would never have thought that. I would have said, well, of course, the Berlin Wall had been up for 50, 100 years, obviously. So
in total, it has been 10,315 days, if you want a number.
Yeah, 10,000 days.
I remember a president saying, tear down that wall. And now I hear a president saying, build that wall. I think to myself, America.
You know, Owen, I think my favorite thing that you say at any, in any show, in anything, is when you say with that voice, America. I love it. All right. Well, thank you very much to all of you for being on the show. We're going to bring it to a close. Why don't you, each one of you, tell us where we can find more of you if people haven't had enough. First, let's start with Dr. Owen, where are you on the internet?
It's four letters. It's pretty easy. IQMZ.com. I was down with an illness for 2 months, so I haven't been doing any podcasting. But you can find an interview with Not Patrick on there. We had a great interview. So I'll be back on my road starting this week, doing more shows and stuff like that. So IQMZ.com. And I'm Odocta everywhere else. If you want a friend or a date, any app you have, if it's Odocta, it's me.
Excellent. Turkey.
Well, you can find me on Twitter, Turki Albala, TurkiAlbala. I try to post from time to time, so if you want to see some of my ramblings, just check me out.
I think you should do a podcast and call it LLAA. I think that would be a great title. Matthias,
do you have any idea how difficult it is to pronounce my name in English?
Turki Albala. It's very easy.
No.
Kabbalah.
My name is Turki Albala.
Ah, Turki Albala. Right?
Yeah.
Did I get it right?
No, not exactly.
Ah, damn it. Listen, I'm channeling my Lebanese roots here, so I might have a little bit of mispronunciation. Matthias, what about you?
You can also find me on Twitter. The handle is @Matzegold, and you can also find that in the show notes. So no spelling required.
Absolutely. All of them will be in the show notes, including the one that O-Doctor just dubbed Turki Kebella, right? That's the one, I think.
I'm close enough.
Yeah, yeah. For me, it's Not Patrick on Twitter and on Facebook. You can find this episode at frenchspin.com, and you are very welcome to come and comment on what we're saying, call us out. And I'm hoping that some of you will, because I'm always interested in hearing from you guys. We will talk about all of this again, with different people being on, I'm sure. So this was kind of a special episode. I was also looking for an illustration, and to be honest, I couldn't find something that fit. So I think I'm gonna leave the illustration black for this episode, because I can't, you know, have pictures that would fit and not be somewhat inappropriate. And I don't want to make the picture like the Black Panther movie for this episode, because it wouldn't work either.
You're leaving it black. It is for Black Panther. Just as some context. I don't care what you say. That's
true. And of course, if you want to support the show, you can do that at Patreon, patreon.com/thephillies club. The link is also in the show notes. You know that this show only exists because its patrons support it financially, and you can do that. I'm sure you know Patreon. It's very easy to use, very quick, very simple. You can decide how much you give and decide when you stop. So if you do enjoy the show, if you think it brings something to your day, please consider heading over to patreon.com/thephillies club and contributing. It would make me infinitely happy, and I'm already infinitely grateful for the ones who do. So thank you very much. We will be back in a few weeks with another episode. Talk to you then. Bye, everyone.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.